What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Happy Hump Day, everyone. If you are a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm a health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredible results along the way. If you are sick of dodgy influencers and people with incredible genetics online giving you health advice, then you are in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and help you get clarity on such topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journeys. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. Coming up on today's show, I'll be joined by Laura Whiteman, former British middle distance runner who represents Great Britain, who represented Great Britain at the London 2012 and Rio 2016 Olympic Games. But first, I'm joined by Maggie Collette, who is the founder of Think Like a Boss, a global mindset and entrepreneurship platform who reaches millions. She's also a mentor, a coach, a podcast host, and author of Think Like a Boss, Stop Playing Small and Start Thinking Big. Maddie, good morning and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, George. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking. So last time we spoke to you about your book release, and today we're going to be here speaking more about motivation and mindset, correct?
Yes, perfect. Correct.
But first, a little bit of information. You have picked up a little bit of an injury recently, correct?
Yes, I have. I have been overdoing it. And it's the result of, honestly, just doing a lot of back-to-back travel, lots of back-to-back commitments, not giving myself a little breathing space, which I think sometimes, you know, we're all guilty of.
Extremely.
And especially when we're doing things that, you know, we love, that excite us, but also where we've committed to delivering on something, sometimes we don't give ourselves the breathing space that we need. And I've just had a very little margin for error. And because I've been doing a lot of back-to-back travel, I've been on my feet a lot. I had a little incident with my foot last week, and I am currently homebound. I can't walk at the moment. I'm on crutches. So that is a painful lesson for me to just not overcommit and to just allow myself that breathing space.
Well, sorry to hear that. That's obviously not fun. And hopefully the recovery is going well, and before you know it, you'll be back on your feet and you'll be doing what you do best. But for now, again, just appreciate you being able to jump on Zoom with us today. So, where do you find your daily motivation, or do you find that it changes, peaks and troughs, highs and lows?
It definitely changes, but I think, you know, the most important thing is to really have a purpose. Okay, so when you wake up in the morning, like, you need a reason to get out of bed, okay? And it's always great when that reason comes from within and isn't necessarily external. So my purpose every day, even in the days and the periods and the weeks that, you know, feel hard or feel challenging, it's, I know that there's a purpose that's much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. I want to show up. I want to inspire people. I want to help people. I want to empower people to just go out there and believe in themselves. So I think just really having that conversation with yourself and getting clear on, okay, what am I doing and why am I doing this? What is the bigger reason behind me, you know, going into the office today or working on this project or starting this side hustle? Mm-hmm. Because when you have a why, it's just going to make those days that feel challenging a lot more easier to just kind of, you know, push through and keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the why? And you've obviously said that just at the end. You're like, it is the why. And the why is super important, really, because I think a lot of people don't really know what their purpose is, and they aren't clear on what they want to achieve and why they want it as well. And that's, you know, and that's something, in my eyes, very deep within that you need to ask yourself those questions.
Definitely. Otherwise, you're going to end up just wandering around aimlessly. Right. So if you've got, it's almost like a compass, right? Mm-hmm. If you're trying to get from A to B and you're using a compass and you're following the directions, all being well, providing you're following them correctly, you're going to end up at point B, which is where you want to get to. But if you don't have any direction and you have no intention behind all of the actions that you take, then you're just going to be wandering around aimlessly, not really kind of going anywhere. And you just, that's where people just really get stuck in a bit of a rut. Yeah. And if we can avoid that, which we absolutely can, then it just makes life so much kind of more joyful, is just having that purpose and knowing exactly where you're heading.
Yeah, with what I do, I often say to people, it's, you have an implementation issue, potentially, not a knowledge issue. I think more people than you realize know how to do it. Probably more than they realize, because sometimes it's just putting one foot in front of the other, and that's a really good start. But it's, how do I implement X, Y, Z? How do I achieve it? And that's why, you know, someone like yourself, someone like myself, people that are experts in their area are really good at guiding people. And I often call it hand-holding. It's sometimes hand-holding through a dark tunnel. We have the torch, we guide you, and then when you start to see the light, that's when you can come alongside us and you can follow us to the end, because you kind of know where you're going and you have, you know, you now know how to implement things with the knowledge that you have learned and also improved on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, knowledge can be learned, right? Yeah, and just having that accountability, which effectively is the hand-holding, it can make all the difference.
That it can. How do you stay focused when things get tough? Like right now, things are probably a little bit tougher. You might be able to disagree, but they're probably a little bit tougher right now, obviously, with your situation. How do you stay focused?
It's just, again, you have to just go back to, you know, having that discipline and that routine. So it doesn't matter where I am in the world, I start my day the exact same way. So every single morning, the first thing I do when I'm still in bed is I do a guided meditation. I then do some journaling and I do some mindset work. And then that is when I typically kind of, you know, jump in the shower, move my body, go grab my coffee. Having that set routine, whether I'm at home, whether I'm halfway across the other side of the world, that gives me some form of structure, so that even in those days that do feel more challenging, I'm still like, I'm almost in robotic mode in a way. Like, I think, you know, certain actions become, I do on autopilot because they are so ingrained in me. And when you're taking actions that just, you know, really support your well-being, it helps you to just have that focus on the days that do feel a little bit foggier. And also just knowing what you're doing with your days. So actually having a schedule aside from the things that don't change irrespective of where you are physically. Having a schedule, knowing what it is that you're working on, knowing what activities you're going to incorporate into your day to support your physical well-being, your emotional well-being, and your mental well-being. And just having that structure is always going to give you an element of focus, even in those periods that do feel more challenging.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, again, that's probably where lots of people largely go wrong, isn't it, really? They have no focus. They have no structure or organization, which means, how can you focus? It's like, you know, when you first start writing something down on paper, if you're just staring at a blank page, like, you've got to get words on paper. So start by, you know, looking at the things that you do regularly and then build around it. And that's just, you know, simple ways of doing it. So I love that. You know, you've got structure, you know how your days work, you know how your routine is coming, and then you kind of build around that. And what mindset shift changed everything for you when, you know, you started progressing with your life?
Do you know, there's two emotions that we largely feel as human beings. We are either coming from a place of love or we're either coming from a place of fear. Okay, so it's going to be one or the other. And fear can manifest itself in so many different ways, such as being in victim mode, such as seeing as your glass half empty instead of half full, it can manifest in terms of sadness, anxiety, depression, all those things. But when we come from a place of love, we're choosing to see the silver lining. We see that our cup is half full, not half empty. And we live in a world right now that, you know, there's so many crazy things happening in the world. And I'm sure I speak for both of us here, George, when I say, I would rather look for the positives in life than the negatives, because the second you start focusing on the negative, you are quite literally going down a negative spiral. And on social media, we call this doom scrolling. Mm. And there's actually research out there that proves the more that you focus on negative headlines, the more you start looking for negative headlines, and the more that that actually impacts your emotional state. It negatively impacts your emotional state. Yes. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be sad. Like, sure. I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to feel all of the emotions that come with being in that place of, you know, coming from that place of love. So I think just that shift of, you know, what would I rather feel? Would I rather be happy or would I rather be sad? Well, of course I'd rather be happy. So if I want to be happy from a mindset perspective, what is that going to require from me? That is a question that I'm going to invite everybody to ask themselves. And the answer is going to be, okay, when I'm in a situation, I get to always look at the positives, okay? Like right now, I get to record, you know, we get to have this conversation together from online, from Zoom, which is amazing. Would I love to be in the studio there with you? Yes, of course I would. Course. However, we still get to make this happen.
Exactly.
We still get to deliver gold to all of the listeners. Mm-hmm. And it's choosing to be that victor and not the victim.
Yeah, that is exactly everything that I would agree with. And I actually read something today which was really interesting. It was about toxic positivity. And I was like, I think that's a load of nonsense. How can positivity be toxic? That's come from someone who's a negative person. And the individual was saying, or what I read was something along the lines of, even though you know things aren't good around you or that things aren't positive, you're still being positive, and that's toxic because everyone has highs and lows in life. You have to just be real with it. And I went, yeah, that's great. But in my mind and in my life and in my eyes and the way I value things, that's nonsense. Because why can't I turn something negative into something a little bit more positive? 5%, 10%, it doesn't matter how much more positive, just put a positive spin on it. We don't have to view things negatively all the time. Yes, I'm not delusional, and I do not live in a glass house where, you know, or in a my own little bubble. Technically I do, but you know, the reality is I would rather be a positive individual, like you said, with love and not fear and not have the negativity, because it fills my cup and it helps me help others.
100%. And, you know, an example I'm going to use with you, you know, a few days ago, I was sat in A&E. I was getting an x-ray done on my phone because the doctors wanted to check it wasn't broken. And all I was thinking, like, I was just visualizing the best possible outcome. And I was like, okay, the best outcome here is I've sprained my tendon, the foot's not broken, and it gets to heal way quicker. Yeah. And I got the outcome that I wanted. And people around me were like, oh no, poor you, you can't walk. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm so grateful right now because number one, my foot is not broken. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's not in a cast. It means I don't have an 8 to 12 week recovery window. Yeah. Number three, they've said to me in about 2 to 3 weeks, you should be walking absolutely fine again. And, you know, I just, it was all about looking at those positives of, oh my God, it could have been so much worse. And I'm so grateful that I'm mobile and that my recovery window is way shorter. Yeah. And I really just had to almost like bat away the negative comments that I was receiving because people wanted to put me in that victim, kind of like that victim mindset. And I was like, no. I'm good. It just means I need to rest. You know, the universe is telling me I've been doing too much. I just need to take it easy for a couple of weeks. And I'm happy with this. You know, let's see how quickly I can walk on crutches. And that's what I've been doing. I've been having a little race with myself to try and get to my local coffee shop and do it and beat my time today than I did yesterday.
Yeah, and that's the right way to do it, isn't it? It's just be positive with things and not be held down by the negativity. Now, obviously, we've brushed upon, obviously, you said love and fear. So how would you handle the fear or the self-doubt? I know you mentioned about, you know, giving it a positive spin, but is there anything else that you might do, like a coping mechanism or something that you maybe teach people?
Yeah, I think, do you know what? There's always going to be situations, shall we say, where we find ourselves and we are coming from that place of fear. And that typically happens when we're actually doing something new for the first time. So when we're venturing into the unknown and we're not quite sure and we're required to do something that takes us out of our comfort zone, that is typically when the fear and the self-doubt creeps in, because we don't know what's going to happen once we, you know, do the thing or take the action. Whereas what our brain is trying to do and our subconscious is trying to do is just trying to keep us safe. It's like, look, do you really need to go and do that thing? Like, you could just stay here and be cozy and be comfortable. But I always say, you know, growth comes when you step outside of your comfort zone.
Yes.
And it's all about, you know, you need to almost have that conversation with yourself. So when the self-doubt starts to creep in, or when your negative Nelly kind of comes out to play, have the conversation with her, you know, honor him or her and say, look, I know what you're trying to do here. I know you're just trying to protect me and keep me safe, but I choose myself and I choose growth, and I'm just going to give this a go and I'm just going to see what happens. And the sooner and the quicker you can start taking some form of action, you know, taking steps towards where it is that you're kind of trying to get to, then the quicker you're going to start to get into flow. And then you suddenly realize quite quickly, okay, do you know what? This thing actually isn't as scary as I first thought. Like, yep, I've taken that first step. I'm actually making moves. I'm making progress. Maybe this isn't that bad. Maybe I can actually do this. And then before you know it, you've gone and done the thing that you were really scared to do, and you realise that it was nowhere near as bad as what you built up in your mind.
Yeah, and I like that, because I use a scenario with some of my clients. So not all of my clients train in the gym because they just don't want to, and that's fine. I'm not going to force people to do something they don't want to. But obviously, yeah, to build muscle tissue, the most important thing is adaptation, going to the gym, lifting weights, X, Y, Z. So for the individuals that aren't confident enough, like you just said, I would say, or with the fear at the back of their mind or at the front of their mind, I would say, why don't you just go into the gym, walk around a couple of times and leave? And they're like, oh. And I'm only saying that because I know that when they're in there, what are they going to do? They're going to sit down on something. They're going to use something. And all of a sudden they're going to go, oh, this isn't so bad. And then they're going to have a positive experience. But I'm going to tell them, don't go for very long, just 5-10 minutes. You know, just walk around, go home. They've obviously gone and they go, oh my God, you won't believe I did a session. Well, how did you feel? I feel amazing after the session. Now remember how you feel afterwards and forget how you feel at the start, because no one has ever had a bad workout. Even me, who has injured themselves doing CrossFit many years ago, I still felt buzzing and high even though I'd hurt myself. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, and no one's ever said, I really regret working out today either.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, what is one habit every aspiring boss should build?
Oh gosh, do you know what? It's honestly,
if you can pick one,
working on your mind every single day, doing some form of mindset work, because you are in your mind quite literally 24/7. So right now, we are having a conscious conversation. You know, we are in our conscious minds. Mm-hmm. When we go to sleep, we are in our subconscious for the most part. So we are constantly, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, you're in your mind 24/7, which is why it's so important to, like, protect it, but also give it a workout. Our mind is a muscle. So even a simple exercise, such as waking up in the morning, going straight into your bathroom and looking in the bathroom mirror and doing a little bit of mirror work and just having a 30-second conversation with yourself as you stare in the mirror and just pump yourself up and say, hey, you know, hey, beautiful, like, you, I want to tell you that you are amazing. Like, you have got today. You can go out there and you can do anything you set your mind to. And here are three powerful affirmations that I want you to remember. I am worthy, I am enough, and I've got this. And then those 30 seconds is you giving yourself, almost like your higher self, that pep talk. Yeah. And I promise you, if you do that every single day from here on in, and like before you know it, you're going to be doing it on autopilot, and it's just going to start your day in a much brighter way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is, you know, one of my biggest things. What I enjoyed about our, you know, our talk last time is that I agree with so much of what you say. You know, words of affirmation, and the mind is a muscle. You know, there's so much research on creatine, on how beneficial it is for cognitive function and the reduction in dementia and so much. And we have to use our brain, use it or lose it. It's a muscle. It's like with anything, you get injured, your muscle gets smaller because you can't train it. You then have to train it, rebuild it back up, get it strong. You know, your mind is the same. You know, we have to remind ourselves how great we are. And that's something that I do with, again, lots of people that I work with. I remind them when they're feeling rubbish. It's like, remember how amazing you really are. If you weren't a good person, that's fine, because you can become a good person. We all have a past. You can make things right, and you can work on things. So yeah, the positive affirmation is a huge thing. I don't personally do it, but I'm a very positive Polly, and I have at times used it to support myself and big myself up and just look at myself in the rearview mirror and go, you've got this. You don't want to do leg day, but you're going to go and do leg day because, you know, I want this and I want to feel good about myself. That's it, you know?
Love it.
Yeah. Right. What's the biggest myth about success you would want to debunk? Is there a particular myth that you'd like to kind of snatch down?
Yeah, do you know what? A lot of people equate success to being like to earning more money. And it's not. So a lot of people think that, okay, once I hit a certain income goal, then that I'm going to be successful. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Does money give you opportunities and bring you elements of freedom? Yes, absolutely. But I think it's so important when it comes to success to really define it on your terms. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say, at least for me, success equates to having more free time to be able to do the things that I want to do with the people that I love. Mm-hmm. And just coming up in the era of, you know, 2 decades ago when I was fresh out of university, it was like, go get the banking job, go get the six-figure salary, like that work for a big bank, a big corporate, that equals success. And having been there, worn the T-shirt, got the burnout in the process, that is no longer my definition of success. It's actually having a calm nervous system. Mm. And being able to do things, like I said before, with the people that I love and just having that element of freedom.
Yeah, it's refreshing to hear, because obviously I agree with the whole, it you know, money doesn't buy you happiness, but it, you know, gets you, you know, into different opportunities, or it brings a different view on life or whatnot. But again, it doesn't equate to anything. And I know so many people that have lots and lots of money and they are super, super lonely. And they, you know, they don't have anyone that they can trust, because, you know, it's like it's like a catch-22. You get to be super, super successful, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I haven't got anyone that I care about or anyone I trust, or I haven't got that circle, you know. So that's nice to hear. It's really, really nice to hear. And how do you reset when you're feeling unmotivated?
I take myself outside of my day-to-day environment. Okay, so the best thing you can do in those moments where you're feeling stuck or you're just like, why am I doing this? Is just take yourself out of the situation, take yourself out of your office, your house, your workplace, wherever it is. Go somewhere different. Just go somewhere quiet where you can just be and just walk out in nature. And even just the sound of like the birds singing or the trees, you know, brushing against each other, like Just being in stillness can honestly give you so much perspective, and it can just really help you to go back inwards and just take some time for you to just ask yourself, right, do I really want this? What is it that I want? What am I working for? Why do I feel this way today? What do I need? And then ask yourself that question, what do I need right now? It could be that you just need a few days off. It could be that you need to let go of a project. It could be that you need a holiday. It could be that you just need to learn to say no more, So, yeah, just taking yourself away from your day-to-day environment without anybody else, just go inwards and just see what surfaces for you in that in those moments.
And would you potentially agree with doing something that makes you happy? So, for example, I work in my apartment most of the week or at the start of the week, and I have a bit of a thing where I know that Monday to Tuesday, my steps are like 1.5, 2K, and that's only from when I go to the gym. So I make a conscious effort to do an hour walk or a 55-minute walk, and just I put my headphones in, no music, silence, and I just walk for health, to get myself moving. Means I'm going to sleep better. It's normally after my last meal. And I just feel so much better since I've been doing it, because I get myself out of my apartment at the end of the day. And no, I do not want to do an hour walk in the autumn, spring, and winter at 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night for an hour. But I do it because I know it's good for me. I know I have to. If you live in a dark area, invest in a walking pad and do it on your walking pad, for example. So that doesn't remove you from your environment. But yeah, I totally agree, and I think that's really, really good advice. What role does confidence play when building a business?
I mean, confidence is going to help you to show up even in the days that you really don't want to. But, confidence is something that comes with time. We're not just suddenly born confident. The earlier it can be ingrained in us to do, to work on ourselves, such as stating positive affirmations and really just building ourselves up, then almost like the more confident you're going to become. But when you're doing something new, and you're starting something new, it's very normal to not feel that confident because you don't really know what you're doing. It's like you're throwing yourself in the deep end and learning how to float, right? But
Very true.
the longer you can float or tread water, the more you're like, oh, I've actually been doing this now for a minute. Like maybe I can get to 2 minutes and maybe I can get to 3 minutes. And it's the same, like when you start, I always say the best way to really build your confidence is to get really good at something. So find something that you want to master and just like get really good at it. And then before you know it, when you become so good at that one thing, people are going to hear about it. And people are going to come to you and then they're going to ask you about it. They're going to want to learn from you. You're going to be seen as a person of authority, as an expert. And when you're really good at what you do, no one can take that away from you because you have learned and built up that skill and that
So
knowledge.
true.
And even just conversations like this right now, if you'd have asked me to do this 8 years ago, I would have been quaking in my boots, like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But 8 years of now of being on Zooms, of having taught thousands of people online, and just knowing what I'm talking about, of course I want to show up and have this conversation with you. And of course it feels great and in flow and I feel confident doing so. So yeah, just it takes time, but what will really help you is starting to master and get good at something.
I think, jack of all trades is a big expression, isn't it? Master of none. But you can master one or two things. Doesn't mean you have to master, a thousand things, or even a dozen, So, no, that's good. And how can someone start thinking bigger? How can they envision that?
I think everybody right now, even you're playing smaller than you can be. Okay. You could be playing a bigger game. We all could be. Okay. So this is something that we're definitely all guilty of. And when I'm inviting people to think bigger, I always ask the question, okay, what is something that you would love to like accomplish or achieve, but you've always just kind of dismissed because you've said, oh no, that's probably a bit ridiculous, or that seems a bit ludicrous. And it's honestly those visions, like you have to almost be a little bit delusional and a little bit
Yeah.
ridiculous to go out and achieve almost like the impossible, you
Dream
know?
big.
Like, look at Sir Richard Branson. Like, if you think about his journey over the last 50 plus years,
Yep.
I was fortunate to spend some time with him 3 years ago on Necker Island. And, you know, he was sharing the story about the vision that he had of Virgin Galactic and of one day, you know, being able to take people
Wow.
into space.
Yeah.
And he was like, when I had that dream, you know, people were telling me I was ridiculous and I was delusional. But I really, really wanted to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I've spent decades working towards it. And now we're pretty much here, you
Crazy, isn't
know?
it?
So I think just really be honest with yourself. What is the thing that you've almost been too, whether it's embarrassed or scared or worried to admit, because to the outside world, it just seems a little bit crazy. That is definitely going to be you thinking bigger.
No, I like it. I'm gonna ask myself that question this afternoon, actually. On my way home from the studio, I'm gonna be thinking, what do I want? What do I really, really want that's bigger?
And also, if there were no limits, okay, this is the other question as well. Like, if
Oh.
there was no limits, if there was no restrictions in terms of finances, money, impact, like audience, like all of it, if there was
Yep.
quite literally no restrictions, like, what would you go out there and do?
I would be a professional ice cream eater. Oh, sorry, I'm just thinking about the dessert I had last night. Anyway, so this is our last question, okay? What's the one message you want every woman to hear?
Gosh, do you know, it's just don't let other people hold you back. Just block out the noise and ask yourself, like, what do I want? And what am I willing to do to go out there and make it happen? So block out the noise and just ask yourself, what do I want? Just go out there and go for it.
No, I like it. It's good. And it's true. It's really, really true. Don't let anything hold you back. Now, Maggie, thank you so much again for a super insightful conversation. Interesting, in depth. I agree with absolutely everything you have to say. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you? Plug the book, the socials, everything. Please, websites, tell us everything.
Okay, primary platform is Instagram. So just head on over to thinklikeaboss.co. I'm now on LinkedIn as well. Really
Right.
loving LinkedIn, by the way. Just search on LinkedIn, just search for Maggie Collette. The book is available all major retailers. You can get it online at Amazon or Waterstones, Barnes and Noble, wherever you're listening from. And yeah, I've loved our conversation. So thank you so much, George, for having me back on the show.
Thank you again. And guys, I actually have the book and I have read parts of it. I'm not a big reader, but I have read parts of it. So if you haven't got the book and you're interested, please do go and purchase it. It's a great read from what I have read so far, and I am intrigued to find out more.
Thank you.
Right, guys, thank you so much for your time, Maggie. I'll speak to you soon. Take
Bye.
care. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, we'll be doing some listener questions.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Fubar Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction: send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Couple goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Guys, we're going to jump into some listener questions. It is now time for me to answer your favourite listener questions and your fitness questions. So if you want to get involved, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. That is at What The Health Show on Instagram. So, first question is, at what age is it actually okay to start going to the gym? I've heard mixed opinions about teens lifting weights. Is there a right age to begin safely? This is actually a really, really good question. So, long and short of it is, there is technically no right age to be lifting weights and actually going to the gym, because you can start doing body weight exercises, you can start doing core exercises. So either way, you are going to get benefits, okay? So long are the days where, oh, it damages your growth plates. That is absolute nonsense. I'm pretty sure it's like impossible to damage growth plates. Obviously, if you are 11 or 12, I probably wouldn't suggest lifting weights straight away. But otherwise, you can kind of go to the gym from a young age. It's not a problem. It's going to benefit you. You're going to be, I wish I'd started at that age. I think I started at like 17 or 18. And I remember there being 15 and 16 year olds. And I was just like, you guys are so much stronger and bigger than me. And I was very wiry. So yeah, there is no right age. But I would start with bodyweight stuff. And I would start with closed chain machines. So a closed chain exercise is a machine. Okay, there is no variable apart from you push or you pull or you press. Okay, and it makes it a lot easier to not go wrong and also build a solid foundation and also progressing slowly but surely, going regularly. How much protein should I really be taking each day if I'm trying to build muscle? And if I'm increasing my protein, should I also be eating more fiber to balance it out? So fiber is important, but we're going to start with the first part of the question. How much protein should I really be taking each day if I'm trying to build muscle? 1.6 to 2.2 grams per kilo of body weight is the perfect and optimal amount for you to have. More necessarily isn't better. It's like with lots of things. Right now, more is not better, but 1.6 to 2.2 grams is perfect. It's the most researched. It's optimal. It's everything that the experts and the laboratories are finding is working best. If you are female, it's exactly the same in my eyes. I would always aim for 2 grams. I think I would struggle to get 2.2. It's very, very hard because I'm a very big, chunky individual and I'm very heavy. So it is a nightmare for me. But yeah, 2.2 grams maximum, 1.6 minimum. Okay. And in regards to balancing out with fiber, I mean, fiber is important, but you know, you're not going to base your whole diet around fiber. Your most important thing is a calorie deficit and protein. Obviously, if you're looking to build muscle tissue, you need a calorie surplus. It does not have to be 500 or 750 calories more. It can be a small one, but obviously eating more is going to be better for you. What are your thoughts on foam rollers? Are they actually helpful for recovery? And how often should I be using one? I'm not sure off the top of my head anymore on the research, but I'm pretty sure when I knew about them, they were a tool. They are useful, but they are not essential. Like I've said before, many times on this show, deep tissue massage and a hug from a loved one for 30 minutes have the same effect on your body. Sounds crazy, but you know, none of this acupuncture rubbish. Like, there are so many tools out there which help. And it depends what you're trying to do. Are you trying to help recovery? You know, yes. So it will help. Massage guns, they will help. But you know what will help more? A hug from a loved one, a massage, and sleep and food. Most important thing for recovery. Again, compression garments, actually scientifically backed to improve recovery by 20 to 30%. That's astronomical amounts of aid in recovery. So if you play sport, after your sporting match, go and buy a little bobsled one piece thingy with your little cap and put that on, because that will aid your recovery and that will help you. Next question: does pre-workout actually make a difference, or is it just hype? How do I know if I should be taking it? Well, first of all, question you need to ask yourself is, are you tired when you go to the gym? Do you get the best sessions out when you go to the gym? If the answer is no, then a pre-workout and starting to introduce pre-workout is a great idea. I literally had this conversation with a client yesterday who said, do I need pre-workout? I said, are you tired when you go to the gym? She was like, no. I said, fine. Caffeine works great. Pre-workout has loads of other little bits and bobs in it. The main one is beta-alanine, which is the thing that makes you itchy and makes you feel kind of irritable, which is going to make you feel a little bit more energized. So if you struggle with your sessions, then that is a really, really good option for you. If not, caffeine works perfectly. Sorry, I was about to sneeze then. Right, next question is, I have heard drinking water can help with weight loss. Is that true or just a myth? How important is hydration in fat loss? Well, technically, we're like 70 or 80% water. So what drinking more water actually does to you is it actually flushes your body through. So it removes toxins and it removes things that are bad in our body because we are drinking more water, which means we are secreting more water. So that's probably the biggest thing. Does it help you with weight loss? Technically, I've had clients lose a kilo in a week from genuinely drinking more water. But again, you have to understand it always comes back down to strength training and a calorie deficit and eating protein. Okay, they're probably the three most important things. Calorie deficit, strength training are the two most scientifically backed things to help with fat loss. Drinking more water, technically, if I eat 5,000 calories a day, every day of the week, and I just drink more water, newsflash, I'm not going to lose fat. I'm just going to be really hydrated. Okay? Excuse me. Next question. How often should adults get a full physical and what screenings shouldn't we skip? Oh, this is a great question. I mean, probably not my area of expertise because I'm not a doctor or anything like that. But I would definitely say a full physical exam with your doctor would probably be something that I would suggest once a year. Like, I'm pretty sure in the UK, they suggest doing this once a year for people over a certain age, or I think it's like every 18 months or something like that. So it's definitely something I'd recommend if you have, you know, previous medical history issues or concerns in your family. Then again, I would say a routine checkup of a full physical or full medical exam is something that I would definitely get done regularly. Right, next question. I feel tired all the time, even though I sleep enough. What could be causing it? Lots of things. Are you drinking enough water? Are you watching lots of TV or on your screen lots before you go to bed? Are you actually doing anything during the day for you to be fatigued? I know loads of people that go to work, sit in an office, and then they're like, at night, I can't sleep, I can't switch off, but I felt tired all the time. Well, because your brain is bored, you're probably not physically stimulated and you're mentally being stimulated. So definitely look at something. I would say is actually eat later in the day. Some people may be like, why would I do that? Eat later in the day, because if you make it a little bit of a carby meal, and no carbs after six, absolute nonsense, by the way. You can eat carbs whenever you want. If you eat later in the day, it might make you a little bit more sluggish. So if that's going to make you a little bit more sluggish, guess what? Newsflash, you're probably going to sleep. You're probably going to sleep better. Okay. And last question. How can I eat healthier on a tight budget? This is a fantastic question. And if you do not visit the frozen section in your local supermarket, you are wasting lots of money. I used to buy fresh veg all the time. Okay, and it used to cost me an arm and a leg, and I didn't mind, but when I let it go off, I'd be really disappointed in myself. I now buy a kilo of broccoli and a kilo of green beans from Sainsbury's for £2.14 for both of them. So that's 2 kilos of veg. You know, you can buy frozen fish, frozen meats. There are lots of options. Obviously, if you're super, super tight on a budget, do not be buying all your favourite things because they cost a lot of money. Chicken thigh over chicken breast. You can buy fattier meats. You just have to understand less food is going to be your issue, but you can volumise your meals with veg. Okay, guys, that is it for the listener questions. Coming up after this short break, we're going to be doing some hot takes and some viral TikTok trends.
Foodbar Radio. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially, what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this. Yeah. You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau. Exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now we're going to be moving on to some hot takes on the gym and some this or that. So the hot takes, starting with, you don't need to train every day to see results, just train smart. Yeah, that's pretty true. The average person can train 3-4 times a week and still get pretty good results. Obviously, the more you train, the better it is. But something that is more important than anything is stimulus, lifting properly, and recovery, because without recovery, you don't get the actual growth. Next hot take. Lifting heavy won't make you bulky. Eating in a surplus will. Okay. No, lifting heavy won't make you bulky. Eating in a surplus also won't make you bulky. It will make you fat if you do things incorrectly, or it will make you larger if you do things incorrectly. So technically, I wouldn't agree with that one, because to get bulky, it takes a long time. And some people technically can't get that bulky because they just don't have the morphology and they just don't know how to stimulate the muscles properly. Next hot take. Walking is one of the most underrated forms of fat loss. Yes, it is. Walking is, in my eyes, so much more beneficial than going for a run. Sounds silly, but actually, no one's ever hurt themselves going for a walk. People hurt themselves all the time going for a run. So for me, that would be my hot take in saying that walking, I totally agree with that one. 90% of people in the gym don't have a plan, and that's why they plateau. I would probably agree with this as well. I don't know if the percentage is actually 90, but I would say it's definitely high. I know so many people that I speak to in the gym, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm not getting any results. I'm like, oh, when did you last change your program? They're like, 3 years ago. And I'm like, okay, I think your body's kind of used to that program. Are you putting the weights up? Am I meant to do that? Yes, you are. But you aren't meant to know that. So I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to educate and bring knowledge upon you. So yes, my hot take is I would agree with that. I would say lots of people do not, or a high percentage of people, do not plan or do not change their plan. Next one. No one is actually watching you at the gym. They're too focused on themselves. 1,000,000% correct. For anyone who has gym anxiety, that is 1,000,000% correct. No one's watching you. I stare at people all the time and I don't even remember who I stared at, because I'm just in my own little world. You know, don't stare at people. It's not very nice. Next. You don't need supplements if your diet is dialed in. This is like 95% correct, because I'm pretty sure vitamin D is something that you would have to eat millions of something to actually get naturally through your diet, and you can't really get it through your diet. So yeah, 95% of that is correct. Next one. Training for aesthetics only leads to burnout. Train for performance or longevity. Absolute nonsense. Why does that mean you're going to burn out? Why does training for aesthetics only lead to burnout? Please, whoever wrote this question, ask yourself why it leads to burnout. There's no reason. Technically, training for performance could lead to burnout, because you're trying to get to a certain speed, a certain strength, a certain something, and you're trying to push, push, push. Whereas when you're training for aesthetics, you normally just, oh, I look good, so you're happy. You don't train that hard. Most people that are aesthetically pleasing don't train that hard. Right, I'm going to move on to this or that, because we are running out of time. And we are going to go with HIIT or steady state cardio. Oh, that's a great one. I'm going to say HIIT just because it's shorter, it's quicker, and it's over and done with, and no one enjoys cardio. CrossFit or bodybuilding? For me, there would have to be bodybuilding. I've injured myself with CrossFit before, and it's not something that I particularly want to be going back to. Hot yoga or Pilates? This is this or that, not this, that, or neither. So we're going to have to pick Pilates. I just think it's a little bit better for you. Home workout or gym session? I'll be honest, gym session, it has to be. There's nothing else to compete with a gym session. Treadmill or outdoor running? We're going to go with outdoor running because it's just so much more enjoyable getting the breeze, the rain, the wind, all of it smashing you in the face. Group classes or solo workouts? For me, it'll be solo workouts. And last one is going to be protein shakes or pre-workout. And I'm going to go with pre-workout because I love pre-workout. Right, guys, that is it from me. A massive thank you to Maggie, who's joined us today. She's joined us on What the Health for the second time. It's a massive thank you to her. Reminder that you guys can download the app and listen each week, and you can follow us on social media. We are at What the Health Show on Instagram. If you would like any help with your health and fitness goals, I provide a top-tier coaching service, no BS, problem-solving, and I'll hold your hand every step of the way. Please contact me at George Burt on Instagram. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.